Today's daf is Bava Basra daf Ayin Gimel, and we are Be'ezus Hashem in the beginning of a new perek, the fifth perek of Meseches Bava Basra, perek Hamoicheres Hasfina, three lines from the top of daf Ayin Gimel Amid Aleph. Today's daf is being learned as a schos for Achenu Bnei Yisrael Hanesunu Batzaru Vashivya. Today's daf is also being learned as a schos Refuah Shalema for Rivka Bas Rachel. So Perek HaMoicheres HaSfina really picks up where Perek HaMoicheres HaBayis left off. The topic of Perek HaMoicheres HaBayis was if somebody sells a house, he sells a chotzer, he sells a field, he sells a bathhouse, he sells a wine press. What's included in the sale and what's not included in the sale? And again, if he would be clear, if he had a good lawyer, we probably wouldn't be having this conversation. But in the event that the moicher sold the aforementioned assets stam, a whole perek in Shas, a rather long perek in Shas, that discusses all the nuances, what's included and what's not included. Perek HaMoicheres HaSfina is going to begin on that same note. It's going to begin with a discussion of somebody that sells a Sfina. He sells a boat. Stam, what's included in the sale and what's not included in the sale. From there, the Gemara is going to make one of the great left turns of all time. The Gemara is going to digress into Divrei Agada, which is going to begin with boats. It's going to go from there into the desert. It's known as the Agadat Gemaras of Rabba Bar Bar Chana. Again, some of the more mystical and some of the more elusive Gemaras in the entirety of Talmud Bavli. It's going to be Melava us through today's daf, tomorrow's daf, the daf after that. I'm pretty sure in the Raid Bites, the daf after that as well. It's actually interesting because after we finish the Agadata of the beginning of Perek HaMoicheres HaSfina, the Gemara is going to make another digression and get into lumdis of how one acquires a boat and how one makes different kinyonim. So Perek HaMoicheres HaSfina is a well-known Perek from the Agadata perspective. It's also a well-known Perek from the lumdis perspective. So there's a lot that's going to be happening over the next several dafin. Either way, without further ado, Perek HaMoicheres HaSfina. Zok Tehillah Gemishnah. HaMoicheres HaSfina, if somebody sells a ship, and again, he sold it stam, like the Rashbam says. He didn't clarify what's included in the Sfina, what's not included in the Sfina. So the Mishnah says, Mochar es hatoirin, the mast of the ship is included in the sail. The es hanes, the sail of the ship is included in the sail. The es ha'oigin, the anchor of the ship is included in the sale. That's kol hamanhigim oisa. Additionally, all the manhigim of the ship are included. The Gemara is going to say that it's coming to be marba, the oars of the ship. Avol, the Mishnah says, loy machar es ha'avodim. So this is very old school. Once upon a time, if you had a ship, you had slaves that operated and worked on the ship. So kedai techamina, that those avodim should be included in the sale of the ship, says the Mishnah, loy macharas avodim. Additionally, v'loyas ha-martzufen. So the martzufen were the sacks where the cargo of the ship was kept. V'loyas ha-antiki, the cargo itself is not included. Ubisman sha'oma loy, hi v'chol ma'ashe v'toicha. If, however, the moicha would tell the lekeach, I'm not only selling you the ship, but I'm selling you the ship and everything that's inside of it. Obviously, he's coming to be marba. What is he coming to be marba? Hare kula mechurin. All these things that we said, bestam, are not included in the sale. Now, those things are going to be included. Either way, so we touched toirin as being a mast. Nes is the sail. The oigin is the anchor. And the manhigin, we gave away what the Gemara is going to say, are the oars of the ship. The Gemara now is going to bring the sources, the Makairis, to how we know all these things. Says the Gemara, Toirin Iskariah. The Toirin is the master of the ship. What's the Makar? It's a Pasuk. It says, Erez milavanoi lokachu, lasois Toirin aloyach. So Erez, cedars, were taken from Lebanon, from Levanoin, and the purpose of it was to make a Toirin, to make this Toirin. Now, the mast is the only part of the ship that you would think you would need these big, lofty cedar trees of Lebanon for. And as a result, if the Pasuk says that the Toirin was made with Erez, must be, we're backing in, that the Toirin is the Askariah. Nes Adar, the Nes is the sail of the ship. The Pasuk says, Sheish Berikma, an embroidered linen, mi mitzrayim hoyem mifrasech, it came from Egypt and it was spread out, liyos l'chol anes, and it was used as a nes. So you see, the nes, whatever it is made of linen. Oh, it must be the sail. The sail of the ship is made of some type of cloth. Oigin, what is that? Honey, Rabchia said, elu oiginen shela. It's referring to the anchors of the ship. So what's the purpose of the anchor of the ship? It holds the ship down, so it shouldn't drift away. The makar to this is a pasuk in Rus. It says, "Halohen tisaberna adasha yigdalu, halohen te ogeno levilti hayoslish." So the context is that Nami is trying to dissuade Rus from coming along with her. And Nami tells Rus that, what, you're going to come along to marry a son that I don't have now? Are you going to sit and wait until I get married and I have a child and the child gets older? Halohen te ogena, are you going to allow yourself to be in a state of aguna, lebilti hayos leish, for all these years? What do you see from here? That the word te ogena, the word aguna, means hold yourself back. Oh, so if we have the oigen of the ship, it probably is something that holds the ship back. Thus, what it probably is the anchor. Now, this is actually interesting because the word te ogena is a word from learning Gemara that we're all very familiar with. It's from the Shirish of aguna. So what's an aguna? An aguna is a married woman who doesn't know where her husband is. What's the etymology of the word? What's the concept of an aguna? It's this pasuk. Halohen tisaberna adasha yigdalu, halohen teyogena levilti heyoslish. The point is, like the Gemara says, it means to restrain, it means to be held back. This woman, because she's married and she doesn't know where her husband is, so she's trapped, she's held back, Niloshan anchor. That's what aguna means. Manhigin, says the Gemara, Amr Rabab, Rabab, it said, Elo hamishikten shlo, it's referring to the oars. V'chein oayim, the pasuk says, Aloinim mi bashan, also mishay toyach. So the mishay toyach are the oars. So what were they made from? They were made from aloinim. That's an oak tree, mi bashan, from the place of bashan. So if you use oak to make this part of the boat, oh, it must be the oars, because that's something that you was made of oak. There's another pasuk that brings out this point as well. It says, v'yardu me. And Nioi Seyem, Kol Toifsei Mashait. All the Toifsei Mashait, all the people that were holding onto the oars, were able to get off the ship. So you see, the sailors would hold on to it. You hold on to the oars. So you see that what is the Mashait? It obviously is the oars. Tanu Rabban, Abraisa, Meiches Hasvino. If somebody sells a ship, Machar Esho Iskala. So the Iskala is the ramp that was used to get on and off the ship. And in the event that there's a bar, this is a reservoir of water that's inside the ship, that too is going to be included. Rabnosan says, Meiches Hasvino. If somebody sells a Svina, Machar Es Habitzes. Sumcha says, Meiches Hasvino, Machar Es Hadugis. Now the Gemara is going to say in 1 second that the Bitzes and the Dugis are the same thing. The Gemara, however, is not going to say what that thing is. So what is the Bitzis and the Dugis? So this was a little ship that the bigger ships had. And the reason is because a big ship wasn't able to get too close to the shore because it needs deep water for it to be able to be afloat. If it gets a little bit too close, it's going to cause a baya. So what these big ships have, Adoye Mazeh, is a little ship that will take the passengers from the deep water to the shore and vice versa. So that little ship that tags along the bigger ship is what is referred to by Reb Nosson as the Bitzis, and it's what's referred to by Sumchis as the Dugis. And what's the halacha? Hamecher es hasfina, macher es habitzis. Hamecher es hasfina, macher es hadugis. On my Rava, so Rava says what we just spoke out, and that is Bitzis hainu Dugis. It's the same exact thing. Reb Nosson Bavlo, Reb Nosson, we know, is sometimes referred to as Reb Nosson Habavli. We have a whole read bite about Rebbe and Reb Nosson together were the ones that wrote the Mishnah. And Reb Ruvim Margolis, and Margolis Yav, and Masechet Sanhedrin says that why did Rebbe do it together with Reb Nosson? Because Rebbe was in Eretz Yisrael, and he needed a counterpart in Bavel to be Ma'asif, like the Rambam says in Zakhdamah, the Pirish HaMishnayis, all the different braises, all the different teachings that at that time was all oral, and it was all Teirish Baal Peh, and he needed somebody working alongside of him, and that was Rav Nosson, just like Ravina and Rav Ashi. Ravina was in Eretz Yisrael, Rav Ashi was in Bavel. But regardless, Rav Nosson, we know, was a Bavlo, having Karle Butzis. He used to refer to this little boat as a Butzis. Kedamri Inchi, like people say, Butziyasa de Meshan. So this was an expression. If you were there, you would know what this means. Oh, the little boats of Meshan. Sumchas, the Bar Eretz Yisrael, Sumchas, who lived in Eretz Yisrael, Kari Lo Dugis, he referred to it as a Dugis. Kedachsivan, that's based on a Pasuk. It says, V'acharischen besirois Duga, Vacharischen is referring to the people that are going to come after you, your descendants. So they're going to be taken away in a Duga, which is referring to this little boat. Either way, so the Mishnah got involved in Hamoicher Sasvino, what's included, what's excluded. What did the Mishnah say? Machar Satoirin, which means the mast. Vesanes is the sail. Vesa Oigen is the anchor. Ves Kol HaManhigen Oisa, that is the oars of the ship. Marbur Braisa, that added to the list. Hamoicher Sasvino, Machar Saiskala, that's the ramp. Vesa Boir HaMayim Shebetoicha, that's also included. Not just that, the Bitzes, Dugas, that little ship, is going to be included as well. What's not included? So at this point, Hamoicher Sasvino, Loi Machar Saavodim, the slaves that were used on this ship were not included in the sale. Vilayas Antiki, the cargo of the ship was not included, and the Martsufin, the sacks where the cargo was kept, was also not included. Either way, the Gemara now is going to take that left turn that we spoke about earlier, and the Gemara is going to begin recounting stories that occurred to Rabbi Bar Barchan, one of the great Amoraim in Shas. Again, these stories really are on a pedestal from the standpoint of it's very difficult to understand what the posh pshat of these stories are. Now, did these stories happen or did they not happen? Now, if you haven't seen them yet, you can't fully appreciate the question. But in a matter of moments, I think we'll have a better appreciation of that question. So that's something we're going to talk about in the raid. That is the topic of the raid bite. Did these stories and really all the different agadata into santa mises that you find throughout Chas, did they happen or did they not happen? It's a fascinating discussion, as you would expect, but for now, the story. Zokta Gemara, Amar Rabbi, Rabbi said, Ishtoy le nechus hayam. I heard the following from the sailors, the people that spend their time at sea. Hay galo demitpa lesfino, the wave which sinks a ship. So sometimes a wave would come and it would take down a ship. That wave, mischazi kitzusisa denura chivarte bereisha. If you would look very closely at that wave, what you would see is a little bit of white fire at the tip of the wave. Umachino labal vasa. Now, if you want to stop that wave, it's very, very dangerous. What you would have to do is you would have to take a stick and you would have to hit it, but not just any stick. It would have to be a stick, the chokik aleh, that has engraved in it the names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Which names? So we know there are many names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Eka Asher Eka is one, Ka is two, and Hashem Tzvokos is three. Amen, amen. Selah, if you do that, v'nayach. That is the way to get this wave to be able to not do its thing. Amar Rabbah. Rabbah told another story. I heard this from the sailors. Bengalo legalo tlas meya parsi. If you were to measure the distance between one wave and another wave at sea, what you would see is there are 300 parsois between the two waves. Veruma degalo tlas meya parsi. The height of each wave, how high does a wave go? 300 parsois. One time, we were going together. We were at sea. This is Rabbi Bar Barchana relating what he heard from the sailors. Udalina gala, and a wave took us and lifted us very, very high. How high? Ad chazina be marbate de koich vazuta. We were able to see the place where the smallest star rests. So the star rests in some place. We were able to see that area. Now, smahavili, we were able to measure that area. And how big was it? It's kemevazer arbom grivi bizra de chardala. It was an area that's big enough for somebody to be able to plant 40 grivin, that's some measurement, of mustard seeds. Now, we were pretty high. But had we gone even a little bit higher, have a maklina mehavle, we would have been burnt from the heat of that star. And when we were there, we heard the waves talking to each other. And one wave told the other wave, quote, Chaverti, my tire a wave. Shavkis midi ba'alma deloy shatafte. I know you're a dangerous wave and you're coming to wreak havoc. But tell me, did you leave Epis Shiraim for me? You know, I also am a wave. I was also created for this purpose. I also want to be able to do my thing. Denesia no na update. Meaning, is there anything left for me to destroy? Amalei, he told him, Puk chazi gvurta demarech. He says, take a look at how powerful your creator is. Meloi chuta chola v'loi avri. It's impossible for me to do anything that I was not instructed and commanded by a Kadosh Baruch Hu to do. Even to cross over the amount of distance that's literally the width of a hair is something I wouldn't be able to do. Shenemer, as the Pasuk says, ha'uisi loisar Riun Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch says, do you not fear me? In mipon I lay sachilu? What? Are you not the tresel for me? Asher samti choil gevul hayam. I made sand be the boundary of the sea. Chok oilom v'lo yavrenu. And no one and nothing is able to cross. And so the other wave returns to this wave. And he says, what? You have a havamina that I'm making decisions whether I should leave something over for you, I shouldn't leave something over for you. This is not something that I have the ability to do, and as a result, there's no reason for us to even be having this conversation. Now, the first two stories that the Gemara tells related to Rabba Bar Bachana are Negeya the Nechusa Yama. It's Negeya, these sailors, these people that spend their time on a Svina, which, oh, by the way, is the reason we're talking about this right now. We just started Perek HaMoicher Esasvin, but we're going to see that many of the Mises that we're going to discuss in today's daf are going to be related to Rabba Bar Bar Chana, specifically at sea. Tiodua, that the Vilna Gaon wrote a very extensive pirish on the Agadat Gemaras of Rabba Bar Bar Chana. He rather didn't write on all the Gemaras, but the very first several he did. And in the beginning of the Gaon's Pirish on his Agadato, he just gives like a little bit of an outline of what the nimshal of all these mices are. Just read a few sentences in the Vilna Gaon, just to get a feel. So the Gaon says as follows, Nira lefarish, the chol elu ha-maisen, shesiper, all these stories that Rabbi Bar Bar Chana told, sidran al-pasik, it's really related to a pasik. The pasik says, yordei hayom ba-aniyois, oisem malacha b'mayim rabim, hey moro, masay Hashem, v'niflo oisa b'metzula, v'ayoyme v'yamid ruach sara v'atremim galav, etc., etc. So the Gaon says that really it's referring to those psukim. And then the Gaon says as follows, Kikvar biyarnu bibiu reinu al yoinu. We already explained in our commentary on Sefer Yoinu. Vilna Gaon wrote a very famous pirish on Sefer Yoinu. And he says in that pirish we already explained, Ki ha'ilam hazeh nikra yam, that the world that we live in is considered the yam. What's the oimik? What's the pnimius of why ilam hazeh would be considered yam? Because people don't live at sea. People travel via the sea, but nobody lives at sea. And Olam Hazeh is Doimel HaProizder, right? It's a place that we're temporarily, it's a transient stop, but it's not really Shomtehe Menuchasai. And it's for that reason, Olam Hazeh is compared to the Yam, which is a place that people pass through. But the Tachlis and the Toyeles is, of course, never to be at sea. But either way, says the Goyna, Oilam Hazeh Nikra Yam, Vahaguf Nikra Aniya. A person's body is a ship, because that is the vessel that we're given for us to be able to navigate the sea, which is Oilam Hazeh. Va'al Yodo. And it's through that ship that the neshama, which is the ikar of the person, is able to survive and is able to exist inside Olam Hazeh, meaning the neshama was meant to come down to Olam Hazeh for a purpose, like Ramchal talks about Kiyodua. But the neshama can't on its own exist in Olam Hazeh. So how does the neshama survive in a habitat that really has no shaykhis to? It's how does the person survive at sea? It needs a ship. And the ship is the guf of the person. So really our guf is just our ship. But who's the sailor? Who is the cargo of that ship? It's the neshama, because that, of course, is the ikar of the person. And the Gaon continues, and the Gaon says, Yodua shahaguf nikra svina, v'cholat tsarei sh'oivrim nolav. All the tsaris that a person goes through in this world, nikra and galen, they're considered waves. K'mesha amar ha'pasek, kol mishparecha v'galecha alay avaru. V'heim abom im alachamoves, ha'meim es la'adam, etc., etc. Either way, just reading a few lines of the Gaon. First of all, because the Gaon Pirish is so famous that Potter Beloy Klumi Yafsha, but to get a little bit of a feel, so in the world of the Vilna Gaon, again, a lot more about this in the raid, this is all a mushal of some sorts. When Rabbi Bar Bar Chana talks about sea, he means Olam Hazeh, and when he talks about ships, he means the guf of a person, and when he talks about sailors, he's referring to the neshama of the person, and when he talks about waves, he's talking about all the tzaris that people have to go through during their lifetime. Regardless, moving along to the third story of Rabbi Bar Bar Chana. Amar Rabbi, Rabbi said, L'didi chazili, Hormin Bar Lilis. I saw Hormin Bar Lilis. So who was Hormin Bar Lilis? That's a little bit of a discussion in the Rashbam. But in one pshat, Rashbam says, Hurman Bar Lilis was a shade. Either way. So Rabbi Bar Bachana says, I saw the shade, Hurman Bar Lilis. Ki karot akufya deshur de Mechuzah. And he was running on the top of the wall of Mechuzah. Verot parasha ki rochet chevasim mitatohe. So he's running on top of the wall, and there's some soldier who is on an animal, and he's riding along the wall, but on the bottom. And he couldn't catch up to him. Now, who couldn't catch up to who? That's Machlokes Rishonim. The Rashbam seems to say that Hurman Bar Lilis couldn't catch up with this soldier. Other Rishonim about Mashma, just the opposite, that this Hurman Bar Lilis had these supernatural abilities. He was running so fast that nobody was able to catch up with him. Either way, Zim Lechada one time, having Misargon Le Tarti Kud Naisi. This Hurman Bar Lilis had two mules, the Kaimon Atrei Gishri De Rungnag. And these mules were on two bridges of the river Roignag. So there was a river called Roignag, and there were two bridges, and this shade has one mule on one bridge, and he has another mule on another bridge. The shover mehai lahai mehai lahai, and he kept on jumping back and forth from one to the other, from the other to one. So this is some serious talent. But he ain't seen nothing yet. While he was doing this, he was holding two full glasses of wine. And he was literally juggling the glasses or pouring from one to the other and from the other to one. And nothing spilled to the ground. Day that this person, this Hurman, was doing this, it was a very, very stormy day. And then the Malchus heard about this, and they went ahead and they killed this Hurman Bar Lilis. Either way, this is the third esoteric story that Rabbi Bar Bachana says. Now, the truth is, this Maisa right here we spoke about in the raid not terribly long ago. We have a raid by the Masechtas Yevamos where there's a Rashbam tucked away right here that was brought up in a fascinating halachic topic. We'll just throw out the Maramakim and Ayin B'related raid bite. But the Maramakim is as follows, and that is, it's Yodua that the Maram Nivoblin has a tshuva. It's Shaila Kuftez Zayin, where there was a woman who claimed that she was an Eishes Ish and she was Mizana with a shade. And the question was, an Ishes Ish, that's Mizana with a shade, does she become Asa Labayla, or does she not become Asa Labayla? Be a shade. Does that make her a Soita? Does that make her a Zoina? Does that make her an Ishes Ish, Zinza Tachas Baila, now she's going to be Asa to her husband? Or does that not make her an Ishes Ish, Zinza Labayla, and as a result, she's not going to be Asa to her husband? Now this, of course, is totally in the Marik. Why it is that an Ishes Ish, that's Mizana, becomes Asa Labayla, we're not holding now and say the Nashim. This is Bechlal, not our Sugya. But the Maram wrote a Tshuva, and the Maram said that Lefum Riata, she's not going to be Asa Labayla. And his Raya was, because the Halach is that an Ishes Ish, that's Mizana with a Behemoth, even though it's Usser, but she doesn't become Usser Labayla. So if she's not Usser, if she's Nirvas, if she's Nivala to a Behema, who Adin, if she's Nivala to a shade, she's not going to be Usser to her husband either. This tshuva made a very, very big tumult. And the Iker Bal Plukta of the Maram was the Lemberger Rav, Reb Chaim HaKoimi Rappaport. He lived in the 18th century, and he wrote a tshuva in his Shailus Tshuvas, in his magnum opus, not like the Maram. And he said that even though it's true that Chazal said that if an Eishes Ish is Nivala to a Behema, she doesn't become Asa to her husband. But if she's Nivala to a Shade, it's going to be more Chamer, and it could be she is going to be Asa to her husband. And he said, the Raya Ledavar, a Rashbam, in Mesechtes Bava Basra, Perek HaMoicher Sasfina, in the third story with Rabbi Bar Barchana, and Afayin Gimel on the days. What did he mean? So he said, because the Gemara says in Mesechtes Sanhedrin, Daf Nun Ches, Amid Aleph, that Ben Noyach, that is Boyal, a Behema, it's Asa. And the reason is because it says in the Torah, V'davak be'ishtoi v'hoyu l'basar echad, mi she'nasin basar echad, yatsu behema v'chaya, she'ein nasin basar echad. A person can't be basar echad together with a behema and a chaya, and it has implications in the Yisurei Arayas of a Benoyach. So Rashi in Sanhedrin and Chesed Aleph says that why is it that a person and a behema can't be a basar echad? If an ish ve'isha could be a basar echad, maybe an ish and a behema could also be a basar echad. So Rashi says the reason is, she'ein Yoldim in a Adam. Because being that a behemoth can't have a child from a person, so they can't have a child together, they can't be a Basar Echad. Basar Echad is related to the fact that the child that's going to come from them will have come from both of them, and that's where the Basar Echad is. And being that the person and the behemoth can't have a child, so Mimele it's not considered Basar Echad. So Reb Chaim HaKoyim Rappaport said a Dover Niflo. He said, take a look at the Rashbam. The Rashbam talks about this person, this shade, Hurmin Bar Lilis. And if you look, about 10 lines from the top of Ayin Gimel Amud Beis, so the Rashbam says as follows, that at the end of the story, the king hears about him and they kill him. So the Rashbam brings two versions of which king killed him. In the first version, the Rashbam says it was the king of the demons above my pay grade. In the second version, the Rashbam says, Ve'ista Amri, Be'malka Kesar. It was the Kesar that actually killed him. Because he was afraid that this Hurmin Bar Lilis was going to take the Malchus from him because he saw he was very, very powerful. Because this shade came, it came from a person that was born a Sheda, and this shade was the offspring. And he was living together with people, and the Melech, rightfully so, viewed him as a threat, and as a result, old school, he had him taken out. But says Reb Chaim HaKoyim Rappaport, it's mavur in this Rashbam that a person that's born a Sheda can actually have a child. So he said, that it's true that an Eshesish that's nivela to a behema, she doesn't become asal abayla. But it doesn't necessarily mean that an Eshesish that's nivela to a shade is not going to be asal abayla. I will tell me if nish behema, then also not a shade. And by the way, what's the tzad hashava between a behema and a shade? They're both not a person. So if a behema doesn't make her asner, l'chayre shade also not. So said Reb Chaim HaKoyim Rappaport, it could be a tzcholok. You know why? Because you see already in the Sugya in Sanhedrin and Chesem and Aleph regarding the Bnei Noyach, that there's a special miut, there's a special exclusion in the parashah of Arayas as it relates to a behemoth, because sefeltim v'hayu l'basar echad, because he can't father a child together with a behemoth, but with a shade you could. What's the raya? You see it from Hurmin Bar Lilis, where the Rashbam has one pshat that he's a shade and he came from an Adam Abal HaShedo. So there is a v'hayu l'basar echad. If there's a v'hayu l'basar echad, then it's Gantz Yitochin that as it relates to Eish Ish, that's going to be also the Bible. Maybe it should be also the Bible. So he's not shtelling to the same sugi. But conceptually, he's saying, don't tell me that because behema, no, that means shade, no. Because you see, there's a mila for sure that a shade has over a behema, and that you can't father a child from a behema, you can't father a child from a shade. And as a result, there it's not v'hayu l'basar echad, here it is v'hayu l'basar echad. Either way, this is, again, part of a very, very large discussion. I think the name of the raid bite was the appearance of demons in halachic responsa. We spoke at a tshuva at the time from the Machna Chaim, a fascinating tshuva. It's good to listen to again. Either way, just a little bit of a dvar halacha tucked away, mamish, in the Ve'ista Amri of this Rashbam that has implications in a very, very famous tshuva that was Maris Shalomis over the last several hundred years. Either way, moving along to the fourth story. We're just getting started. Omer Rabbi, Rabbi Sadeh, Didi Chazili Urzila Bar Yoyme. I saw an Urzila. So an Urzila is a Re'im, says the Rashbam. So the Re'im is one of the mystical creatures that the Rishonim struggled very much to try to figure out what exactly it is. The Radak said that the Re'im is the unicorn. Regardless, the Re'im is something that the Torah talks a lot about. Rabbi Bar Bachana said, I saw Re'im. And not only did I see Re'im, I saw a Re'im that was Bar Yoyme. It was one day old. And this Re'im that was one day old was very big. It was the Havikar Tavar. It was the size of the mountain of Tavar. The Har Tavar Kamer Hava. Now, how big was Har Tavar? Arba Parsi. It's four parsois. Umeshachet et Savari Tosa Parsi. Now, the length of the neck of this Re'im was three parsois. Ubei Marbata Derechni Parso Paglo. And the place that it would put his head down was a parsa and a half. Roma Kufta. This Re'im went to the bathroom. And so much was excreted from this Re'im, Vesachal Eli Yardana, that it literally stuffed the entire Jordan River. Ad Kan Hamarisa. That story. V'omar Rabba Bar Barchana. Rabba Bar Barchana. I saw an akrukta. The Rashbam says, what's an akrukta? A tzvardeya, a frog. Now this frog was so big, it was the size of the city of Akra Hagrunya. So Rabbi Bar Bachana saw a re'im, a baby re'im that was the size of Har Tavar, and he saw a frog that was the size of Akra de Hagrunya. Regardless of Akra de Hagrunya, Kamahava, how big is Akra de Hagrunya? In case you're wondering, Shitim Bati, it was the size of 60 houses. Also, Tanin Abolo. In the meantime, a Tanin, one of these sea creatures, came and he swallowed him. Also, Pushkansa,
Ubalulitanina. Then a pushkansa came. So the Rashbam says that a pushkansa is an oirev nikeva. It's a female raven. And it swallowed up and it ate this tanina. Vesolok yasabi ilana. And after this raven ate the tanin that had eaten the akrukta, the raven went and it perched itself on the top of a tree. Says the Gemara, Tochazi, kamenofesh chele de ilon. This must have been a very, very big tree, right? Because, right, you have a little chagadya here. You had the pushkansa that ate the tanina that ate the akrukta, and it was pretty big, right? The akrukta was the size of Akra the Hagrunya, which we said is the size of 60 houses. It's sitting on a tree, and the branch isn't even moving. So the Gemara says, Amar Rapapar Bashmul, Rapapar Bashmul said, Yiloy Avoy Hasam Loy Himni. I have to be honest with you that, you know, Rab Rachana tells a good story, but this story I would not have believed that I'd not seen the tree. I actually saw this tree. It really happened. This is a massive, very, very strong tree. And he said, as a result, I believe it. So it's interesting. Rab Papa Bar Shmuel said, I don't know. I mean, this story is making me a shtickle uncomfortable. But I saw the tree. It really, really happened. V'amar Rab Bar Bachana, the sixth story. Zimbachad, I have a kozlina besvinta. I was once on a boat. V'chazlina nahu kavra. And I saw a fish. Now, this fish was a gezinta fish, but there was a small little sheretz that was in one of the nostrils of the fish. And because of that little creature, umis, the fish died. And once the fish was dead, some current came and it took the fish and it swept it out of the water, and it landed ashore. This fish was so big that when it got swept ashore, it destroyed 60 cities. Meaning it landed. And it didn't just land, it landed on 60 cities, because that's how big it was. Not just that, there were 60 other cities. All the inhabitants came and they said, this is, dinner for a long time. And 60 cities came and they were able to eat the flesh of this fish because it was so big. Not just that, there were another 60 cities whose inhabitants came and they took the food to go. Right? Achlu means they ate it. Mochu means they salted it and they put it in the freezer. Umilu michad galgala de'ene tlas meya garbe mishcha. Not just that, they were able to take from one of its eyeballs so much oil, so there was some liquid that came out, that they were able to fill up 300 barrels of oil. Either way, they left this crime scene the way it was. They come back 12 months later, and they saw there were people that were there that were sawing the bones of this fish, and they were literally making wood. And they were using the wood of the fish to go rebuild the 60 cities that this fish had destroyed. Seventh story. Every one of these are fascinating. I was again once on a ship. And I saw a fish. And there was sand on the back of this ship. And there was an agam, like a swamp, that started sprouting from the sand. So Rabbi Chana said, it looked to us like an island. So we went on top of the island. Visalkinan, we went. Vafkina, we started baking. Ubashlina, we started cooking, right? It's like a little barbecue going on top of this island. Well, it turns out it's a fish. They're going to find out in a second. Agabe, katcham gabe. And as they're heating up the coals, all of a sudden the fish gets a little hot and it starts getting a little bit uncomfortable. Is hapich, it turned around, and all of a sudden, damn, and the whole picnic, everything went flying into the ocean. They left the have a mikarva sfinta, and we're not for the fact that the ship was so close, have a tavinon, we would have all drowned. Meaning, the only reason we were able to make it out alive is simply because the ship that we had been traveling on was pretty close by. But had it not been so close by, we would have been in big trouble. The eighth story, Bamar Rabbi Barbachana, Zim Nechado. Again, we were once on a ship, and the ship was traveling, right, between one fin and another fin of the fish. Now, so it's traveling between fins, and how long did it take to get from fin A to fin B of this fish? It took 3 days and three nights. That's how big this fish was. That it's literally a three-day travel, days and nights, to get from one fin to the other fin. Now, the fish itself that they were traveling between was also moving, but it was moving against the wind. We were going with the wind, meaning the wind was going in our favor. And afilu hachi, we had the support of the wind, and it still took so long. Now, you're going to tell me, says the Gemara, like the Snagis Finta Tuva, maybe this was a very, very slow moving ship. I mean, that's what it sounds like to me. Doesn't sound like it's moving very fast, but it's not true, because we have a Masoret, Rav Dimi came, he said, Kimechem kumkum kedamaya, the amount of time that it takes to heat up a kumkum of water, Mesagishitim Parsi. This ship was able to travel 60 parsois. Okay, not just that. Vishnodi Parsha Gira, the Kodmale. If there was going to be a race between this ship and an arrow that an archer was going to shoot, you know who was going to win? The ship was going to win. And this ship went so fast. And I feel it's going so fast. It has the wind in its direction. Right? How fast? 60 parsais in the amount that it takes to heat, make a cup of coffee. Afilu hachi, this ship, it took 3 days and 3 nights to get from one fin to the other. Amar Ravashi, Ravashi says, I know which fish it is. He heard this story, and Ravashi said, I know exactly what it is. He said, Ahu gilded of the yama, boy, it's got to be the gilded of the yama, the islay trey shaitzi, because it has two fish. I mean, it's pretty big. So it has other things going for it, but it has these two fins, and Ravashi said, that's for sure what it is. The ninth story, and this is the last one we're going to see today. We're going to have to save some of these maislach for tomorrow and the next day. We were once going on a ship, and we saw a bird. Now, this bird was standing in the water. We're on a ship, and we see water, and it's standing in the water, and we're able to see its ankle. So it's like ankle deep. The Reshna Berakia. But it was so big that its head was all the way in the clouds. Vamrina, like a Maya. Now, we assume that, obviously, there's not a lot of water, because if I can see the ankle, so this must be the shallow water, right? So if it's the shallow water, this is the kiddie pool, right? Obviously, the water is not very deep here. Ubi'inon, lechus, makure nafshin. So we said, perfect. You know, we wanted to cool off a little bit. We weren't going to go into the middle of the ocean. So this obviously is the perfect place for us to get off the ship and, you know, dip our toes into the water. Either way, we're about to get into the water of Nafak Baskal. All of a sudden, we hear a Baskal. The Amalad and the Baskal told us, Loitechusu Hacha. He says, do not go into the water here. You have no idea how deep this water is. And don't let the fact that you see the ankles of this bird fool you. He said, do you want to know how deep the water is? So the Baskal told the story. The Nafla Slechatziv Labar Nagra, there was a carpenter that dropped an axe in this water, Hashevshni, 7 years ago, and it didn't sink yet to the bottom of the ocean. So for 7 years, this spot right here, it dropped an axe, and it's still draying. So this water is very, very deep. Now, the Gemara explains, and says, V'lav Mishom Nefishi Maya. The reason it took 7 years, and this axe hasn't really reached the bottom yet, is not because it was so deep. Okay, it's because it's very aggressive. The water over here is very, very intense. But the point is, this is dangerous water, and because it's dangerous water, meaning, so why do you see the ankles of this bird? Because this bird is obviously very big. And by the way, the giveaway is the head is all the way in the Rakia. But the bottom line is, this is not the place to go for a swim. This is very, very dangerous water. So the Gemara says, Rav Ashi heard this story, and I'm Rav Ashi, and Rav Ashi said, I know which bird this is. So he knew which fish the previous Maisa was, and Rav Ashi Lishitasa, he knows which bird it is in this story. He said, Ahu Ziz Sadaihu. This is obviously the Ziz Sadai. And it's based on a pasuk in Tehillim. It says, V'ziz Sadai Imadi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I have the Ziz Sadai with me. And obviously this is the bird that Rabba Bar Bar Chana saw. Again, we have to save some for tomorrow. So we're going to come up for breath and we're going to exhale here. Now, we really didn't do justice in terms of explaining the panemius of these stories for two reasons. Number one, it's above my pay grade. And number two, it's above my pay grade. So it's obviously, the mashal is a lot easier to understand than the nimshal is. But it's just kedai to know that many Gedolei Yisrael, Kadmoinim, wrote at great length to try to explain these stories. Bereisham, the Vilna Gaon, which of course is famous, the Kliyoker in his Oilus Ephraim was very mayrich in these stories. Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Chaver, who was a Mekubal 19th century from the Beis Medrash of the Vilna Gaon, in his Sfarim, he wrote a lot about the Meisnes and the Chassam Sofer in different places. He talks about some of these stories. And Vachain, all the different Gedolei Yisrael, they all chimed in. Aber Be'ikr, the Goyen and the Adas Ephraim, they wrote at length, and obviously, if you want to see a little bit of the panemius of what's happening, that would be the place to take a look. But I think it's kedai to talk about something that's a little yisodi as it relates to understanding Divrei Agada. I mean, these are from the most agadita digger gemaras in Shas. And I think really, kan hamokim laharech ktsas, in terms of understanding and pondering one specific question related to Agadita, and that is, so you learn Gemaras like we just learned right now. We went through 9 of the stories of Rabbi Bar Bachana. We're not even halfway there. Did these stories happen, or did they not happen? And again, you go through the Vilna Gaon, you go through the Dalil Sefraim, you go through Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Chaver, the different Tzaddikim. So, of course, they all explain these stories with incredible panemius. And for sure, this panemius, that's not the question. The question is the chitzoidius, did these stories happen, or did they not happen? Meaning, were these real stories? If Rabbi Bar Bachana said that I saw a fish that was this big, okay, that means Rabbi Bar Bachana saw a fish that was that big. Now, the reason he's telling you the story is probably because there's a nimshal that he wants you to take out of it. But he's not making up a story, and when he says l'di chazili, he means l'di chazili. Now, sometimes the Gemara will say, Emshalacham mashalama adavadayim. Rabbi Bar Bachana didn't say that. So he's not making, it's not story time with Rabbi Bar Bachana. If this is what he's saying happened, then we're supposed to assume that this is what happened. Or maybe, when it comes to Divrei Agada, there's a Messiah that Divrei Agada, Lav Dafka, needs to be taken literally, and even though it's being presented as if these stories really happened, Abba Chacham understands that no, of course, this didn't really happen, and this is a mashal, even though it doesn't say, Emshalcha mashal amat avadayim, and the avoyde is to teach the words, because you have to teach even the mashal. But at the same time, it's kuloi pnimius, and there really is no chitzoinius as it relates to understanding the story. And again, it's not just Negei, these Gemaras. Negei is so many Divrei Agada. Divrei Agada, when you read the Gemara, the Poshib Shat. Are we supposed to assume that it happened? Or are we not necessarily supposed to assume that it happened? If you take a look at the Marsha, right here, the first Marsha in Perek HaMoiches HaSvino in his Chedushei Agadas, he starts off as follows. He says, Avki be'emes ein lahakchish pshotei hadvarim. Even though, of course, you can't deny the Poshib Shat of what Rabbi Bar Barchan is telling. Meaning, if he's saying that this happened, of course it happened. But says the Marsha, afilu hachi, this pinimius, and he goes on pages to explain what's going on. And this line of Abki be'emes ein lahakchish pshatei hadvarim, he says right in the beginning of the parak, and he repeats it a few times. Now, the truth is, yesh lachgar in the Marsha, being that the Marsha only said it in select pieces, did he only mean it in those select pieces? Or kol davar shahaya bechlal v'yotze min achlal lelamed loy lelamed al atzma yotze el lelamed al achlal kulo yotze. And the Marsha is saying, and he's saying again what you're supposed to really apply to this entire sugya, and really what you're supposed to imply to all the Ve'agadas. I think the pashtos in the Marsha is, like he says in the beginning, Afki be'emes ein lahakchis pshatei advarim, that the pshutei shel mikra of what Rabbi Bar Bachana said actually took place. If you look at the Ben Yehoyada, the Ben Ishchai, here, right in the beginning of Perek HaMoiches HaSvino, also it's the opening line, he says like this, Hine noida kol ma'morim elu loy dibru bahem dvarim kipshutam. There's no way all these stories happen. Elahem dibre moshel. All they are is dibre moshel. This is not real. What, you think Rabbi Bar Bachana saw a ship that it took 3 days and 3 nights to travel from one fin to the other fin, a maisa where there was a bird that was ankle high in water, that it took more than 7 years for the axe to land to the bottom, and these stories never took place. All it is a mashal. So I think B'muscharishin, if you're learning Perek HaMoiches HaSvino like we are, and you open up the classics for him that were written on Divrei Agada, like we did, what you seemingly see is that it's a machlekes achronim. The Marsha seems to say, "Ein lahakchish pshatei hadvarim," and the Ben Ishchai says that it's poshet lo yidibru behem dvarim kipshutam Elohim divrei mashal. But the truth is that really this shayla of whether you're meant to learn these gemaras and all such gemaras kipshutai, or whether it's merely wholly and exclusively a mashal, it's really an old question. And it goes back to a fascinating pulmis that took place almost 1,000 years ago. And it began when Moreinu HaGadol, Rav Moshe ben Rav Maimon, the Rambam wrote his Yad Chazaka. So when the Rambam wrote his Yad Chazaka, it made a tumult. Everyone knows when the Rambam wrote the Meir Nevuchim, it made a tumult. But when the Rambam wrote the Yad Chazaka, it also made a tumult. And the Rosh of the Misnagdim, for lack of a better word, the Yad Chazaka, was the author of the Sefer Yad Rama, Rabbeinu Meir Abulafia. So he was one of the Gedolei Rishonim. He was a contemporary of the Rambam. And when he got his hands on the Yad Chazaka, the way he writes, he was nispol on this Gadol that was in the generation. But at the same time, there were certain things that the Rambam had written that made him uncomfortable. The thing that made Rabbeinu Meir Abulafia the most uncomfortable is a well-known Rambam, Bavus the Rambam, in Hilchas Tshuva, it's in Perek Ches Halacha Beis. The Rambam over there is talking about Olam Haba. And the Rambam says, quote, Olam Haba, Ein Boy Guf V'Gvia. In Olam Haba, a person doesn't have a body. Elin Nefashos HaTzadikim Bovad. All there are neshamas. Beloy Guf K'malachei Asharis. Hoyel Ve'Ein Boy Gvia. And says the Rambam, being that a person doesn't have a Guf in Olam Haba, Ein Boy Loy Achila V'Loy Shtia. V'Loy Dover Mikol Advarim Shegufoy Spnei Adam Tzrichon Lehem Ba'Olam Hazeh. V'Loy Yere Boy Dover Min Advarim Shema'arin L'Gufoy Spnei Olam Hazeh. K'goin Yeshiva V'Amida V'Shina U'Misa V'Etzev U'Schoiku V'Yoytzevem. All the things that we're familiar, every human emotion, every action, every desire that we have in this world doesn't exist in the next world, says the Rambam. He continues, and he says, Kach omru chachomim arishoinim, ha'olam haba im bo layachil v'loy shtir, v'loy tashmish, elo tzadikim yoshvim, v'atoreseyim b'rashneim, v'nenim izi v'ashchin, and the Rambam goes on and on and on. And when the Yad Rama saw this Rambam, he was very taken aback. He understood that what the Rambam is saying is that there's no real tchias ha'mesim. Now, of course, there's an existence that goes beyond our transient existence in this world. But Tchias HaMesim in the generic sense, Tchias HaMesim, here's the punchline, in the literal sense, it sounds like from the Rambam there is not. Because the Rambam says, Mefurish, that Olam Haba ain't by Gufu Gvir. There is no body. And there's no Achil, there's no Shtia. The Rambam seems to be describing Olam Haba, which the Yad Rama understood means the world of Tchias HaMesim. And the Rambam saying there's no Guf. And this bothered the Yad Rama tremendously. He says, I don't understand. How could the Rambam in his Yad Chazaka write that this is not the way it is? And he says that even though what the Rambam did with his Chibur is Haflava fell in the Welt. But at the same time, this Rambam bothers him terribly. And he was very, 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 very disturbed by it. He was so disturbed that he wrote a letter to the Chachmei Luniel. And he asked the Chachmei Luniel what they make of this Rambam. There were other ha'aris he had in the Rambam, but Be'ikr was the Rambam's position as it relates to Olam Haba, which in the Rama's understanding meant the world of Tchias HaMesim, and it seems that the Rambam Shita is that Tchias HaMesim doesn't involve a guf, and to him that's untenable, and it bothered him very, very much. And the Rama received a response. The response that he received was from one of the Chachmei Luniel, one of the Chachmei Provencia, whose name was Reb Aaron ben Reb Meshulam. And he writes to the Yad Rama a letter, and he tells him that, you know, for starters, I think you might be overreacting a little bit, because I don't know if the Rambam ever said that there's no Tchias HaMesim. The Rambam said, Olam Haba ein bo loy guf. Does that mean that Tchias HaMesim doesn't have a guf? Maybe Olam Haba l'chud and Tchias HaMesim l'chud, right? No one says they're the same thing. There's the end of days. There's Achris HaYomim. There's Olam Haba. Right? These are all synonyms of each other on some level, but they don't all mean the same thing. So said Reb Aaron ben Reb Meshulam, you might be picking on the Rambam in terms of semantics. I don't know if the Rambam disagrees with you. It could be the Rambam holds there is a regular Tchias HaMesim, and that's not what the Rambam is describing in that halacha. In that halacha, what the Rambam is talking about is Olam Haba, which is a different existence, and that existence is the Olam HaNeshama. For example, when somebody dies, Rachmana Litzlan, now. So where does that person go? It's not Tchias HaMesim, he goes to the Olam HaNeshama. Maybe that's what the Rambam was talking about. And what emerged was a very interesting, nuanced conversation in terms of understanding Tchias HaMesim, Olam Haba, did the Rambam mean this, did the Rambam mean that. But one of the subplots, and that's Nogei L'Inyonenu, right? The ikar of this back and forth is Nogeya when you learn Perek Chelek, when you learn the sugyas of Tchias HaMesim. But what emerged as a subplot of this story, a very important subplot, was that what was bothering the Ramah so badly with the Rambam was that it seemed that the Rambam was being moitzi the concept of Tchias HaMesim and many chazals that describe Tchias HaMesim midei pshuta. And the Rambam doesn't seem to be taking these gemaras and these chazals literally, because the Rambam saying there's no regular Tchias HaMesim. All it is an Oilam HaNeshomis. What do you mean? Chazal say it's Tchias HaMesim. And that's something that was bothering him very, very much. So it wasn't just the Rambam's position of Tchias HaMesim that was bothering the Yad Ramah, but it was also the fact that the Rambam can machzech nish visendik from so many Gemaras, which seemed to suggest mefurish psukim in the Torah. Right, the Hakitzu Yishene Yofar. It seems to suggest that no, there's going to be a regular Tchias HaMesim. And how could the Rambam be moitzi all these ideas midei pshutam? So Rabbi Abraham Meshulam writes back to the Yad Ramah, and he tells him as follows. He says, you're championing with the Rambam that the Rambam took certain gemaras and says, don't take them literally. Listen to this line. He says, Ve'eich yala alev ish shenosan Hashem chochma b'liboy. How could there be a havamin in the heart of a man who God placed wisdom inside? Look, kachas divrei agada kipshutan vehapsukim kitzurasam. Oh, you have a havamin. You meant to take this literally. You know it's not meant to be taken literally. When you're dealing with divrei agada, you can't take things so literally. So how can you get so excited that the Rambam said something and it doesn't stim with the pshutay shel mikra of a chazal, even a pasuk? He says these are not things we understand. They're not meant to be taken literally. They're meant to be understood homiletically and allegorically, not literally. And as a result, he says, I don't understand this greiser kanois that you have on the Rambam. Forget about shittas now, tchias HaMesim. Look, that's not our sugya. But he says, dos geite chazoy in leben. He says, ve'eich yala alev ish, shenosan Hashem chochma b'liboy, lokachas dibri ha'agodah kipshoton, v'apsukim kitzurasan. So the Yad Ramah gets this letter back from Rabbi Aaron Bramasholim. He writes back. There's a back and forth. And then the Ramah said that I want to send the Shaila to France. I'm going to send it to the Godol Hadar in France at the time. He was the Rosh of the Bali Toisvis, maybe the most underrated of all the Bali Toisvis, a conversation for another day. And that's the Rashmi Shantz. And he sends this Shaila to the Rashmi Shantz. By the way, the Rashmi Shantz is the author, unbeknownst to many, of most of the Tosfosim that we have. Most of the Tosfosim that we have were written by the Rashmi Shantz. But either way, so he sends this Shaila to the Rashmi Shantz, and he says, Ilamdenu Rabbeinu, I'm having this vikuach with Rab Aaron Bira Meshulam about the Rambam, and I want to hear what your take is. And we have the response, we have the letter that the Rashmi Shantz wrote back to the Yad Ramah. In fact, we have two responses that the Rashmi Shantz wrote. I'll tell you, this was something that was such an inyan back in the day, that the Yad Ramah actually wrote a chibur where he printed his correspondence together with Rabbi Aaron Meshulam and together with the Rashmi Shantz. We actually have this correspondence. It survived. It was written in Arabic. Ready for the name? The name was Kitab al-Rasail. That is the name of the chibur. Today it's more popularly known as the Igris HaRamah, and it's printed in the back of Yad Ramah Masechta Sanhedrin. If you have the fancy edition, it's available at your local Sfarim store at the very, very back. So they have these Igris, and then it says, like in Lashon HaKodesh, there's something that's supposed to mean Kitab al-Rasail. But the bottom line is that's this chibur that was written originally in Arabic, where the Ramah wrote everything that happened. So the Rashmi Shantz, here's the Shaila. Side the shaila with regards to Tchias HaMesim Oilam Haba, but more as it relates to us, the shaila of Divrei Agada. You have to take everything literal? Well, fakir, it's not meant to be taken literal. And the Rashmi Shantz sides with who? Sides with the Ramah. And Lashonis, the way he describes the Rambam, is fascinating. It's good night to go through it. But at the end of the day, he sides with the Ramah. And he says as follows, listen to this line. He says, says, how's it possible? How could anyone ever have? He was referring to what Rabbeinu Aaron ben Ramashulam said. He starts off the letter. He said, Rabbi Aaron ben Ramashulam said, Ve'ichyala alei vich shenosan Hashem chochma b'liboy lokachas divrei agada kipshoto v'apsukim kitzurosam zokter Ve'ichyala alei vich shloimar shloinikach divrei agada kipshoto. and he goes through different Gemaras. And by the way, he quotes Bava Basra Ayin Gimel, Bava Basra Ayin Dalet, and Bava Basra Ayin Hey. All three of the Gemaras we're going to learn right now. Perek HaMoichas HaSvina. He says everything is literal. Who has the chutzpah to read a Gemara? It's, it didn't really happen. What do you mean? How could you do that? You have no right to do that. If Chazal said it's a mashal, good, it's a mashal. If Chazal didn't say a mashal, had he ever a right to say it's a mashal? And then he said, I'll bring you a raya. You know what my raya is? Because there's a Mishnah in Mesechtes Tamid where it says, Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, B'shloishem Mekoymois Dibru Chachamah B'Lashon Havoy. There are three places that Chazal spoke B'Lashon Havoy. Three places they spoke B'Lashon Havoy, and then he goes and he lists what the three places are. Freit Rashbam, if you're telling me that all Divrei Agada is Lashon Havoy, it's not three places where it's Lashon Havoy, it's a lot more than three places. What do you mean? A percentage of Shas. We just had 9 stories in today's daf that were all B'Lashon Havoy. Zok the Rashmi Shans. It's a Raya. 3 and not more than 3. That's it. There's only 3 times. Those 3 times was B'Lashon Havoy. But beyond that, it really wasn't B'Lashon Havoy. So I'll tell you something fascinating. And that is, the Rambam had a son who's known, of course, as Rabbeinu Avram ben Arambam. Rabbeinu Avram ben Arambam wrote a Maimer al Hadroshos v'al Agadas. It was written originally in Arabic. It was translated several times over the millennia into Lashon HaKodesh. It was very recently put out again in a beautiful, beautiful Madura by Yedidi, Rav Moshe Maimon. Rav Moshe wrote a mavoi to this Maimer, where he talks a little bit about the Sefer Kitab al Rasail and the controversy between the Rama and the Chachmi Lunil and the Rashmi Shans. But regardless, he went through the Maimer and he wrote footnotes. It just came out now for the second time in Tovshin Pei Dalet. It's a bestseller. If you have any affinity towards Agada, it's a Sefer you absolutely have to have. It's a masterpiece. Rav Moshe is going to kill me, but he taught himself Arabic to be able to work on the original manuscripts of Rabbein Avram ben Arambam. He didn't just do this, but Moshe also put out Rabbein Avram ben Arambam's Bereishis and Shmois. This is, if you know, you know. Very, very special. But regardless, so Rabbeinu Avram ben Arambam wrote a Maimer al Hadroshos v'al Agadas. And in the beginning of the Maimer, he talks about how his father, the Rambam, really wanted to do something like this. Lamaisi ended up not doing it. He talked a little bit about Agadato in the Maimer. And really, he lays out his understanding of how you're supposed to understand and learn Divrei Agada, which, as Moshe really goes through very much, and the Mavoi seems to be rooted in what the Shitas HaRambam is. And it's very much in line with the way the Rama understood the Rambam Shita, which is that all these different Gemaras are not necessarily meant to be taken Kipshuta. In fact, Uksil Yavin Azois. The Uksil thinks that it's meant to be taken Kipshutai. But the Echiala Alev Ish, any person that's a Chacham, Beliba, he understands that the Divrei Agada are not meant to be taken Kipshutai. So again, how then are you supposed to understand Agadata? And if when we say Agadata is not meant to be taken Kipshutai, does that mean all Agadata? Or maybe only like the ones that don't make us so comfortable, right? So how do you pick and choose? How do you decide? So Ben Avram Ben Arambam goes through all different Agadata, and he takes all Divrei Agada and he divides it into 5 categories. That already is extra credit. We're not going to talk about this. Ayin Shom. So he goes and he makes 5 different categories. But I just want to mention one thing. Toich Dvarov says Rabbein Avram Ben Arambam that you're going to ask me a kasha, that how could I say that Divrei Agada does not necessarily have to be taken literally, but didn't Chazal say Tomit Chav Tes Amar Aleph that B'Shloisha Mekoymois Divrei Dibru Chachamin B'Loshin Havoy? It's 3 and it's Mashma, not more than 3. And whose Kasha was this? This is Toisvus' Kasha. It's the Rashmi Shans' Kasha. It's a bomb Kasha. It's Mashma only 3. Says Rabbi Avram Ben Arambam, the Kasha's a Tois. He says, why is the Kasha a Tois? Because the 3 that Chazal are referring to is 3 in the Mishnah. But as it relates, or 3 by the Tanoim, but as it relates to Gemara's, V'shloisha mekoy meisei lohem b'mishnah. Yeah, Mishnah. Ki betalmud yimotzei havoi le'ein mispar. That's his lashon. Yimotzei havoi le'ein mispar. It's pashit. There's so many different examples of where you're going to find this. He brings Kam Rabbi Shachtel Rab Zeira. He brings Rabbi Shmok ben Alishin se pamachas nechnasti lefnai v'leftim lahakta t'tayres. And according to some versions of Rabbi Avram ben Aramam, the different Nuschais, he brings in the beginning of Perek HaMoichas HaSvino. So this was very much the Shitas HaRambam, and this was Kedarko, his son, Rabbi Avram ben Rambam, and his Maimer al Adrashas Fal Agadas. But the bottom line is this little nuance that we found tucked away right here in the beginning of Amoichas Asfina seems like it's a machloikis, the Marsha and the Ben Ishchai. This is an old machloikis. This machloikis traces itself way back. How far back does it trace itself back? To this fascinating tumult and vikuach that came about when the Rambam wrote his Mishnah Torah. It was a tumult that created letters and tshuvas between the Ramah and between the Chachmei Luniel, the Chachmei Provencia, the Rashmi Shans. These were Rabban Shel Kol B'nei Agoyla, printed originally in Arabic in a work called Kitab al-Rasail. But the bottom line is, this very, very basic shayla in terms of how you're supposed to understand Divrei Agada is something that goes back a very long time. But one thing is klar, and that is, without a question, without a doubt, when you learn Divrei Agada, there's a panemius. There's no shayla. No one's debating that. Of course there's a panemius, and of course there's a hidden meaning. According to the school of the Rambam, which is the school of Rabbi Aaron ben Meshulam, which is the school of Rabbi Avraham ben Arambam, and it's Maimar al Joshua's Fal Agadas, that's all you're supposed to take out. There's some lesson, there's some philosophy, you know, the Beis Medrash of the Goyin and the Arizal and the Leshem, it's Teres HaSoid, it's Teres HaNister. There's some pnimius that, of course, without a doubt, without a question, you're supposed to take out of it. There's no shaila. The question is, there's there a chitzonius? Did the story happen? And for us, we can leave it almost as an academic question. The pnimius, the lesson, is all going to be the same. Oh, but the shaila is, did the maisa happen or did the maisa not happen? And this seems to be an age-old question. But just to end with one chsam soifer, and that is, the pasuk says regarding the man. The man was kizera gad lavan v'tamay kitzapiches bedvash. And the Gemara says in Yuma Ayin Hey, and it's also Mechilta, that what does it mean that the man was kizera gad? It was ka'agoda. It was like agadata ha'moysheches esaleh. So the chsam soifer in Torah Samoish and Parashas Peshach, he spoke to that once. It says a dover nifla. He says, what's this mashal that we compare agadata Gemara to the man? So he says, you ask a little child, what do you know about the man? What's he going to tell you? He's going to tell you the man, it tasted like whatever you wanted it to taste like. It was the most taiva de gazach in the world. You're in the mood of a steak, it's a steak. You want a medium rare, perfect. You want it to taste like something else, it tasted like that. Right, that was the rogach of a shayla. What if you had a mind, it should taste like basa v'chalav and you ate it? When you over the isa basa v'chalav? Because it could be anything. Whatever you wanted it to be, that's what it tasted like. But you ask someone that's mavugar, what did the man taste like? He says, the man. What was the man? It was like nitna Torah el loichle aman. It's lechem abirim. Right? It's food that went into the bainer of the person. This is the most ahoyben. It's the most ruchniest thing of Michael was in Nishdo in the world. Das heißt, the man, the chitzoniest of the man, was mamish billig. It was like a type of the gazach. Whatever you, it's the most, it's geschmack. Wow, I'm in the mood of this. It tastes like this. Then you have a machshava azoy. It tastes like that. You have a machshava's pigle. It tastes like this. Right? Whatever you wanted to think of, taste like, all you gotta do is think, and boom, you have exact other impnimius, the moment's not shaykh, says the Chassam Sofer, that's mamish Divrei Agada. You learn Divrei Agada, you learn the stories about Rabbi Bar Bachana, it's as fun as it gets from a Daf Yomi perspective, right? These are great stories. The chitzonius is almost billig. It's like these like cute stories. Oh, but the pnimius, the soid of every Dvar Agada is nishayach in the world. It's kodesh kodoshim, it's toichei rotzev kedusha and soidei asoidus. Sedech Sam Sofer, that's the marshal. That the man was kizera God. It's kedivrei agada shemoishchen. It was mamish agadato. There's the chitzoinius and there's the pnimius. And that's something that we have to remember. Whenever you learn agadato, the chitzoinius, it happened, it didn't happen. Fascinating question. V'kvardoshu be'rabim, this is a question that goes back 1,000 years with different messiahs. But at the same time, the pnimius, of course there is, that's the muscle of kizera God. Either way, we're just getting started here in this little series of Dafin in the beginning of Perek HaMoichas HaSfina. We're going to stop now.